And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, that which becomes bold in Scripture, and we look at and go, interesting. The title, To Him Alone. Plus, we're going to go into our modified common sense commentary, Galatians chapter 5. Mike LeBon, author of the book Giving, is in the house, and if time permits, better than Coke.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Nope, it's Morse code. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. John Glenn has died. The former astronaut and U.S. senator was the first astronaut to orbit the Earth and the last survivor of the original Mercury 7 astronauts. Here he is in the capsule of the Friendship 7 on February 20th, 1962.
Zero G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous. Capsule turning around, and I could see the booster during turnaround just a couple of hundred yards behind me. It was beautiful.
Florida Senator Bill Nelson, himself a former astronaut, spoke of his colleague on the floor of the U.S. Senate today.
John Glenn was not only a pioneering astronaut, a great senator. He was a first-class gentleman.
John Glenn was 95 years old. Also at SRNnews.com, the House passes a stopgap spending bill to keep the government open beyond Friday's midnight deadline. House Appropriations Committee Chairman Harold Rogers, who supported the bill, said Congress could have done better.
A CR is simply a Band-Aid on a gushing wound. This is no way to run a railroad. It's bad for Congress, bad for the federal government, bad for our country.
The bill's fate is uncertain in the Senate. The United States has asked other nations to refrain from sending delegations to President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration. In a cable to embassies around the world, the State Department says that special delegations should not head to Washington for the ceremony on January 20th. A State Department official says the guidance is not unusual and is in line with the longstanding practice for presidential inaugurations. The illegally occupied Oakland warehouse where 36 partygoers burned to death was not in the database that city fire inspectors used to schedule inspections of commercial buildings. This is SRN News.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefield's ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now, here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
The outgoing socialist government of France is trying to censor pro-life activists by criminalizing online advocacy at odds with the nation's abortion laws. The French National Assembly has passed a bill that makes it a crime to post information online that challenges abortion. Pro-life activists who continue to post online risk fines of more than $30,000 and up to 2 years in prison. The bill expands a 1993 law which penalizes giving out so-called false information or physically blocking access to an abortion facility. This leaves to the government the right to define what is false and misleading, but only for the pro-lifers. Presumably, pro-abortion activists will continue to be able to present false and misleading information to pregnant women, you know, like occurs in the U.S. Pro-lifers in France believe the government is trying to ram through the new law before it's forced out of office. Let's hope for the sake of the babies and the women who are regularly lied to that the new government will overturn this radical law. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
For a free copy of today's commentary and other information, visit calthomas.com or send a written request mentioning the date and subject to Values Through Media, Post Office Box 7065, Arlington, Virginia, 22207. Tax-deductible gifts support these commentaries and are appreciated. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. We are happy to have you on board. We got Mike LeBond going to be coming on in about two segments. That should be quite a bit of fun. I do want to let you know if you want to reach us. I think we've mentioned this before. We'll mention this again. It's not a brand new concept. It's called email. Stands for electronic mail. It's cheaper than a stamp, unless, of course, you're paying a monthly fee. And then who's really smart? All right. So you can email us. You can do it at davidspoon at kprz.com. We try to make that easy. David, not named after a king, but I wish I was. And then spoon, kind of named after a utensil. So that's what it is. And for those that are trying to figure out, well, how'd you get that name, Dave? When my family came in to the country, they could not apparently pronounce the original name. And it was something close to spoon, but I guess it wasn't spoon. And the people that had that information never transferred that information. So as much as I know, spoon could be spoon. Spin, give me any of that stuff. I don't know. But for an email point of view, it's davidspoon at kprz.com. Just a little something you may, you know, maybe you wanted to know. Maybe you didn't. But now you do have extra information. And if you're at the dinner table and somebody's looking for a trivia fact, there you go. Just trying to help you out during dinner with trivia. All right, let's get rolling into our DDD. We're going to play a little music for you in just a second. I just want you to understand that the title of this is called To Him Alone. Before we do the music, this came out of my morning devotions this morning as I'm reading the English Standard Version in the quietness of my apartment, which is two dogless now. Still one dog, but two dogless from the other day. This is the devotion that came forward. Let's play the music, and then we'll get into the DDD. Yeah, great play. Excellent pickup. Great job, Tugboat Todd. That's exactly what I want. I want to make sure we keep that one with us close. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Says this, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a portion. I when you get into the Greek, people will say to you, Peter is not, you know, very skilled in his Greek writing. That's what they tell you when you get into certain classes. And I'm not convinced that's accurate. I understand where they're coming from because you read people that write for academia, and it's much more boring than people that write for the purpose of trying to just talk to people. Peter says this as well as it can be said. Whoever speaks, you need to speak as the oracle of God. Whoever serves, you need to serve by the strength that God supplies in order that everything that takes place, God is glorified in this through Jesus Christ. So when it says whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God, it's talking about the words that we speak. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength God supplies. That talks about the actions that we do. The speaking has to do with our words, what we say. The serving has to do with the actions, the things that we actually do, which should be in concert with what we say. And the scripture comes down this way to make it clear. Everything that we say and everything that we do, we ought to be doing towards the Father being glorified. And we ought to do it in the name of Jesus. We ought to do it through the strength of Jesus Christ. We ought to do it through the mindset of Jesus Christ. After all, you have the mind of Christ. Scripture makes that clear. And the things that we do are to be directed in such a way that the things that we do and say glorify God in everything that God may be glorified. I want to make sure you understand, greater than you and I having a wonderful time in eternity, which is fantastic. Greater, of greater importance than you and I having a spaceship in eternity, having streets of gold, having gates that are pearls, having rainbow colors around the throne. More important than all of that stuff is this verse. Ready? Ooh. Isaiah 43:7. Isaiah 43:7. In fact, Tugwotow, we ought to reference that verse. You don't have to spell the whole thing out, but Isaiah 43:7, listen to what the Lord says in Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Everyone who's called by my name, of whom I have created for my glory. You exist not to enjoy eternity, though being connected with God you will, but you exist for the glory of God. You exist for the glory of God. It's awesome that he pours his love into your heart. It's fantastic that he protects you. It's unbelievable that he answers prayers from people like us who are a mess. But you and I exist for the glory of God. You want to find out what your purpose in life is? There it is. If you really want to know your purpose in life, you should know why you were created. If you really want to know why you were created, you should look at Isaiah 43:7. You were created for the glory of God, to bring God glory. Give me your whole, I'm going to find my inner child. I'm going to do this. Whatever I do is going to be the greatest thing in the world. Blah, 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 blah. Ad nauseum. How about this? You live because God said you can live. And you live for the purpose of giving glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says, no flesh should glory in God's presence. No person is ever going to stand before God and brag about anything. Well, Lord, look at this fantastic thing that I did. And then the Lord will just say, who gave you the heartbeat? Who gave you the lungs? Who gave you the breath in the lungs? Who gave you the legs? Who gave you the arms? Who gave you the mind? Who gave you the heart? Who gave you the mouth? Who gave you the hands? And every one of those answers is going to go back to you, Lord, and you alone. So what we say and what we do is to glorify God through Jesus Christ. We exist for the glory of God. I just want you to get it so that there's nothing to miss. The reason this is entitled To Him Alone is because that is where it rests, with God. You don't live to pay rent. You don't live to drive a car and to pay your car payment. You don't live to go out on Friday nights. You don't live to go to church on Sunday morning. You live for the glory of God. That's why you exist. Apart from him, you would not exist. Keep defiling, and we'll see if you do exist. Because it's within the Lord's hand, his framework. Every day you get up is a gift from God. But every day you get up, it should be acknowledged that that day is a gift from God. And to his glory, you get up, you wake up, you rise, you do whatever. But it's unto him and to him alone. And the whole world doing this self-help program stuff, trying to make it all center about who we are in our inner being, when in the core of our existence is to give adoration, praise, and acknowledgement to God. It's just idolatry when it's self-centered. You become God to yourself. Ouch, Dave, take that knife out of my back. I would if I could get the one out of mine. But I as you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Let the good times roll.
More local, national, and heavenly talk coming up on the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 a.m., KPRZ.
In pre-election debates, the economy was highlighted by both candidates. Not too surprising. What is surprising is how few people, including many politicians, realize the most crucial problems have to do with moral values. This is Jim Garlow. Our news is full of sex scandals, financial scams, and questionable political deals. Yet we fail to see the connection that our economy is the way it is because of weak moral values, greed, and dishonesty. The economy is related to biblical values. The result has been governmental thievery, excessive debt, and theft from those who are yet unborn, your children and your grandchildren. Any nation that borrows money just to pay its interest is not a principled country. It's stealing from the next generation. We need moral uprightness. We need more of being well-versed in biblical values. There's definitely more of that at jimgarlow.com.
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, "Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel and get her done." Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at excaliburroofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered.
You know who heard the newborn baby Jesus cry? Only two people. Only two. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. We have a stable, a feeding trough, a nervous husband, and of course, Mary, a young Jewess not more than 15, 16 years old. Remember the record? It came about while they were there. The days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths, and she laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. End of story? No, not really. The new beginning of everything.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. All right, you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com. If you don't know what email is, really? You don't know what email is? You got to know what email is. Come on. All right, I'm looking outside. I'm checking the weather. The weather is okay. I mean, it's nice. It's nicer than Cleveland, so it's nice. I'm looking at the traffic, and I go, you know, the weather is okay. Now, why do I do that? Because when is the traffic on a freeway that good? At like 3 in the morning? I'm not driving at 3 in the morning. That doesn't help me. All right, a couple things to let you know. If you want to, you're welcome to go to kprz.com, check out the different events that are taking place in the community, the different things that we've posted and listed. And as I've been encouraging people and try to do on a regular basis, keep in mind that there are different churches, different ministries, different people doing different things. Not everybody's going to do the things that you do. Not everybody's going to see the things the way that you see them. And guess what? God's big enough. That's okay. You can still be praying for the people of God to be encouraged, to be moving forward, to be advancing the kingdom, even if your brothers or sisters do it a little different than you. Does that really matter? Nah. Listen, I have a brother and a sister, three of us in the family. Do you think any of us are alike? Nope. We're all different. Yet, we're all in the same family. All had the same mom, all had the same dad. Well, in our case, we all have the same dad, and we all have the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we all drink from the same Holy Spirit. So, keep that in mind. If you see a difference, that doesn't mean it's bad. You know what it means? It's different. Thank you. Okay. All right, let's get into our modified common sense commentary. Lay it on me, Tugboat Todd. Tugboat Todd. Tugboat Todd. You know, that was the cue. All right. Did you want me to do the finger puppets?
Today was the dog whistle version.
The dog whistle version?
Yeah, you didn't hear it?
Oh, yeah, wait. Hold on. Okay, got it. All right, there it is. All right, let me know if you find it. We'll just go into it as it is. Galatians chapter 5, verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 say this. Take notice, I, Paul, tell you that if you have let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been severed from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. All that matters is faith expressed through love. Fantastic portion of Scripture, Galatians chapter 5. And a lot of people have taken this passage and said, you have separated from grace. You've made the blood of Jesus Christ of no value. You're gone when you backslid. See you around. That's a pretty interesting soteriological point of view, but it is highly incorrect. What the scripture says is that in the whole run-up to chapter 5, get this, is chapter 3 and chapter 4, which kind of makes sense. So it's running up piece by piece. And Paul is spending the entire time through the Holy Spirit saying, you don't start this thing off by faith and then finish it by law. You don't start this thing off by walking with the Lord and believing, and then you're going to take over the rest of your salvation process, and you're going to finish. He spends chapter 3 and chapter 4, so to speak, telling people, no, It starts by faith. It keeps by faith. It ends by faith. And this is a work of God in your life. And here in this passage, he's saying, you who are trying to find this through the law, you who are trying to make this happen because you think you're good enough, you're severing yourself from Jesus, because Jesus is the place that salvation is, and you're falling away from the grace that he's offering you and entering into this whole other realm of salvation by works, which was nothing but a stumbling block for the entire nation of Israel. Why are you doing that? That's what he's saying. He's not saying, oh, you're such a mess you can never recover. He's saying, hey, you don't know the trouble you're about to give yourself. You're going to go down this road and go, wait, this isn't working. Like, right. That's why it was changed in the first place. His whole passion here is for the church not to get so tightly wound up about how every soldier soldiers, that if they do that, they're going to separate from this whole purpose. You know, it's funny. You think about this in these terms. It's not that Jesus would come today, but if he did come today, who would the Pharisees be? Now, I'm just asking. It's a fair question. Who would the Pharisees be? I mean, they're not going to be, you know, extreme liberal people. I mean, that's not going to be the Pharisees. They're not going to be extreme political people, because that's just political. You have to be in the Roman Empire for that part of it. But it's going to be people that have some connection to God that think that they have the answer, when the answer, in fact, was, is, and always will be Jesus. And the idea that we can take from God and produce on our own something that goes past what God can do is the height of audacity. You think you can do better than God? You think he's not doing this right? The last person who said that to God had a three-letter name that we have recorded. And right about the time that he opened his mouth one too many times, God came in and said to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And it was right about that time Job went, I put my hand over my mouth. Right. God knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it. He knows what to do. You don't take over from God. You walk in submission to God, in sync with God, in coordination with God. He's offered his plan of salvation. You're not going to take that which is given by love, the love of God, given by grace, received by faith, and you're not going to pervert that and take over and do it in your strength, lest that defilement catch up with you and God respond to you in it. It's like, whoa, 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 back up. Don't fall away from grace in the capacity that you separate yourself from grace and try and operate in some other system. That's what it's talking about. And just for verification, because I like the theologies of things, and I'm weird that way, that's why he says in verse 5, but by faith we eagerly wait through the Spirit the hope of righteousness. It's for in Christ Jesus. It's not circumcision nor uncircumcision. It's like faith expressing itself through love. And this is all about that communion with the Lord. And when you break from that communion and start establishing secondary laws and rules, you know, there was 619, 29, or 39, depending on which rabbi you followed, in regards to laws. And then they came up with the Talmud. And the Talmud was to make sure you didn't get too close to the laws. It was kind of like a bubble around the laws. Then they came up with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah was a bubble against the Talmud, which the Talmud was against so that you wouldn't touch the law. So it keeps going further and further and further and further out, and the legalism goes higher and higher and higher and higher, and it's like that was not the intent. The Lord gave us these things so that we can grow and learn and draw close to him, not that we so we can add to. That's why I think when Jesus simplified, it was difficult for people to hear that, because that was a real wrench in the system. And he's like, oh, there's this and there's this, and they say this, and we have this tradition and this and this. And Jesus goes, I got two for you. Okay, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbors, love yourself. Work on that, get that together, come back, I'll give you a third. That's it. Keep it there. Don't sever yourself from grace. You want to know why? You can't afford to. Too costly. All right, we're going to take a short break. Then we're going to come back with Mike, talk about his book, Giving. That's going to be pretty cool. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Woe to those who enact evil statutes. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. Obamacare isn't a popularity contest, and apparently that's a good thing. 6 years after the new health care policy was signed into law, time hasn't healed any wounds. According to Gallup, a whopping 80% of Americans say they want the law repealed or significantly changed. And they proved it by going out and voting for a president who promised to do just that. The longer the law's been around, the more unhappy people are. Only 14% approve of Obama's health care takeover, and that's after a $700 million ad campaign. Americans may be paying for Obamacare's PR, but that doesn't mean they're buying it. After more than a half decade of watching their costs rise and their freedoms diminish, it's time to free American families from this unworkable law. And that starts now, with conservatives in Congress and President-elect Trump standing together to repeal this law once and for all. For more, go to TonyPerkins.com.
Maranatha Chapel is having a special celebration for your enjoyment, and it's free. That's right. On Sunday, December 11th at 6 p.m., Maranatha Chapel is presenting our special guest speaker, Will Graham, grandson of the beloved evangelist Billy Graham, who will be bringing a special message proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, Dennis Agajinian will be lifting up honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ through a special night of Christmas songs of praise and worship. Here's the best part. You and your family and friends can attend for free. Maranatha Chapel is located at 10752 Coastwood Road in San Diego. For more information, call 858-613-7800. That's 858-613-7800. Or go to maranathachapel.org. No child care is provided. The doors open at 5:30. Come December 11th and join us in the worship and special songs and hear the proclamation of the gospel by William Franklin Graham IV. Mark your calendars. It's going to be extraordinary. We'll see you there.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. All of us are easily tempted to strike back when someone criticizes or attacks us, but that's not the way a gentle Christian should act. The only time the lion in us should roar is when God's honor is at stake. That was our Lord's attitude, wasn't it? When God's temple was defiled, he cleaned it out. But when the temple of his body was crucified on the cross, dripping with blood and spit and sweat and mockers all around, all he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." That is supreme gentleness or meekness, Jesus being totally selfless. If Jesus could forgive those who crucified him, how can we do any less to those who harm us? This is John MacArthur praying that you're continuing to be portraits of grace.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. In the studio with me, Mike LeBon, author of the book Giving. He's in the house. We're going to talk to Mike, give him a chance to share what this book is about. I want you to listen because we don't do enough. I've mentioned this before, but when I was pastoring, it was very difficult for me because I never wanted to present it in giving in a way that was in that negative light that a lot of televangelists have done. But I never wanted to rob people from the opportunity to be planting seeds and to be advancing the kingdom and to be giving and being Christ-like. So there was always that little unspoken tension. And when I was pastoring, it was at the height of the televangelist saying, "Send me $50. And I promise you, I will send you something, and you will never be penniless." And then you would send the $50, and they would send you a penny in a little cellophane plastic thing, and then you would never be – I mean, it was shameful, right? That's shameful. But Mike is approaching giving from the kingdom principles point of view, from God's heart's point of view. And so first and foremost, Mike, welcome to the show. Thanks for showing up with us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Here, you've got this book, Giving. Let's talk about those basic questions. What led you to say, you know what? I'm waking up today. I think I'm going to write a book about giving.
Well, what led me to write a book about giving was early in my life as a Christian, about 3 weeks of being a Christian, I heard the first message on tithing. And it didn't make any sense to me. We were flat broke at the time. We were push starting our truck to go from job to job, and now we were supposed to take 10 cents out of every dollar. But we was at the stage where we were brand new Christians, you know, that stage when whatever the preacher says, you do. And so I started doing it. How did I know nobody does it? So we just started practicing the principle of tithing.
So when that started to take place, did you start to see something transpire from that giving? Or did you just think, I'm just doing this because I'm supposed to do this?
I'm just doing this because I was supposed to do it initially.
Okay. And did you at then some point realize, well, this is not just a functionality, but there's other dynamics, or this is obedience to God, but this is sowing blessings into the kingdom of God as well? Did you start to see the bigger picture?
Yes, I began to realize that it was the very first step of growing up as a Christian, that it was the basic discipleship was honoring God with the first 10% of your finances.
Do you typically encourage people to go beyond that, or do you tell them, hey, that's a good place to start? Because I've had some people talk to me and say, hey, we want you to just start to learn to give, so give something. And then from there, you grow into, or is your kind of approach, no, I think you should just, let's go with the 10%. That's what the Lord's committed to.
I think tithing is a great place to start, but a lousy place to finish.
Excellent. That's really well said. Is that in the book, by the way? Because that's a good line.
It's in there.
Okay, good line. That's good. Let's talk about the book just a little bit. I want people to have access to the book, make sure that people understand ways to get to the book. So your book, it's titled Giving, and is there a subtitle, Giving Like God's Way? Is that what it is?
Okay. Yes, Giving God's Way is the subtitle.
Okay, and can they get that on Amazon?
And on MikeLeBond.com.
Okay, so you can also get it at MikeLeBond.com. So for those that don't know how to spell that, I'm going to walk you through Mike, and then the LeBond you should figure out. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to do it the other way. So it's MikeLeBond, LABAHN.com. And you can go there and pick up the book, and that'd be better for him because then the Amazon wouldn't be taking their 40%. But on the other hand, if you decide you want to do it through Amazon, that's fine. He's not going to have any objections. But you get an opportunity to get the book. How long did the book take you to write?
The book was really about a decade-long process because I kept learning more things, and then I kept getting hesitant about publishing it. So it actually took about a decade from beginning to end.
Okay. Did you when you wrote it and you first finished it, did you look at it and go, I'm not doing this? Did you have like a reservation? You know what I'm saying? Was there something that pulled you back?
Yeah, my first thought was, who would buy this? And then I decided to work on it a little bit more.
Okay. And so you made it, so you improved it in that sense.
Improved it, yes.
Okay. Give me some of the titles on your chapters. Give me some of the notions that you walk through, and then after you tell me a chapter title, give me an idea where it's heading, like what you're trying to head to. So you know, we've got the books in front of us, and I do want people to know you can go to MikeLeBond.com, and I'd almost rather you do that just because he'll get the benefit. It'll be a little better. It kind of looks a little cooler because I have a book, and you do it on Amazon, and it's like, here's your 5 cents for your 9,000 copies you sold. So it's like, that's not the greatest thing in the world. Talk to me about the chapters, though, and walk me through this.
So perhaps we could just turn to chapter 2, which would be Why Give.
Okay.
And in that chapter, we lay out that basically the reason we should give is because God tells us to.
Okay. So it's an obedience play regardless.
Right. I once heard a pastor say that God should only have to tell you to do something once.
Yeah. Unfortunately for me, when you come into areas like patience, I think he tells me like 9,000 times, but you know, I'm probably, you know, a little abnormal there. Then give me some of the other, like, because in this process of writing, you must have discovered some revelatory elements as you're writing this. Did you just like go, oh, I didn't even think of this? I mean, did you come into that?
Well, yes, that did happen. But very early on, before we started writing, we got a rather unique vision for what we wanted our life to mean in terms of money. Again, we had just begun tithing. We were flat broke. We were push starting the truck. And about 2 months after I started tithing, I said to my wife, I have a vision to give away $1 million to the kingdom of God from this lawn mowing business, which at the time was myself and her, and a truck that wouldn't start without pushing it. And I set that goal. And my wife had said to me, how do you possibly think you're going to give away $1 million to the kingdom of God? We're having a hard time buying a starter. And I said, I don't know, but that's the vision. And that's what I want this business to ultimately be and do.
Is the business now, I'm just going to go out on a limb, business is now bigger than just you and your wife?
Currently, we employ just under 100 people.
Okay, so the answer to that is an emphatic, oh, you betcha.
Yes.
Okay, so your business is much bigger, and it's making a lot of progress. Have you been able to reach that goal of giving that $1 million away?
Yes, it was a long, slow journey. It took us 30 years, and we did hit the goal about 3 years ago.
Wow, fantastic. That's just absolutely wonderful.
So now what we're about is we want to tell our story. We've written some books. We want to come to your church. We want to encourage you to tithe. We want to challenge you with this question. What would God do in your life as it pertains to your finances if over the long course of your career, he knew that your mission was to not only build your little kingdom, but to build his kingdom? What things would happen in your business or in your life if God knew he could take the money and get it through you?
So it's, in a sense, you're creating dynamic opportunities for God to show his hand and to show his providence in people's businesses as they're contributing to the kingdom, as they're participating with God. You're saying, God, it's your business even more than mine. Help me.
That's exactly what we believe. And we really believe that God will move in your finances if he knows he can move the money through you.
Wow, that's a great principle. Because why would God, if he's going to entrust you with something and you're a steward, why would he give you this stewardship opportunity, yet you're not responding to it, you're not doing anything with it? And I often wonder that same principle with the gospel, because people receive the gospel, the greatest message ever, and hold it in and don't share. And it's like, dude, that's the greatest message in the universe that you're keeping wrapped up. Like, that's a great principle. So in this element, did your wife help you write the book then? Did she kind of, walk with you in this process?
She helped me. As I was putting the chapters together, she would look at them and advise me.
Brother, I know you, because that's why I put it together. My wife go, it should be this, because she's much better at that stuff than I am. When I wrote a book, I had some ups and downs. Was there any disappointment as you were writing the book? I mean, when I wrote the book and I finished, I realized I'm a lousy writer. You know what I'm saying? Was there anything you went through and you were like going, yeah, I wish I kind of had learned this or done this, or anything that you grew in or that you were challenged in, even by the Lord?
Probably I grew in persistence.
Wow.
Because it is a bucket load of work to write a book.
Yeah.
I had no idea how much work it was. Perhaps if I knew, maybe I – who knows?
Not if the Lord didn't want to tell you, because right, he didn't want you to go forget it. Right?
Right. Right.
Excellent. I mean, that's such an excellent element, though, that the Lord, in that process of you writing this book, would teach you perseverance, which is one of the most important elements in the kingdom of God. You're going to have people that are going to pick up the book. What's the message you would say? This is what I want people to walk away from. When they read this book, this is what I want to know that happened, or this is what the message I want to communicate that they hear. What is it you want that engagement to be between the reader and you yourself as the author?
I think that the biggest thing I would want them to know would be when they're looking at their budget, when they're trying to tithe, when they're trying to do a love offering, to not leave God out of the math. I think oftentimes when we look at our finances and we talk about tithing, we're afraid to do it because we don't think there's going to be enough. We're going to turn off the gas electric, we'll turn off. We get scared. I just encourage people to realize tithing and giving is nothing more than giving God a chance to prove himself to you. It actually gives us a chance to be in a position where we have to trust God. And I know every Christian says, I want to trust God. This is what I know for myself and every other Christian that ever gets in that spot where they really have to trust God. We try to get out of that just as quickly as possible.
Yeah, excellent. Well said. Excellent job there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I want you to know. Mike Labahn, Labahn. Labahn, MikeLabahn.com. Did you get that? MikeLabahn.com. His book, Giving, and I'd rather you pick it up through his website because it will be more of a blessing to him. And this will give you an opportunity to examine your own life, maybe even challenge you as the Holy Spirit kind of challenges you to say, what you're doing with your 100%, let's see what I can do with that money. And that's really the real fix. Can God do more with your money than you can? That's kind of the question. That's where you're kind of laying it out. Excellent job, Mike. Does that feel pretty comfortable?
Yes.
Not too shabby? Okay. All right. I won't give you a bill. I'm kidding. All right, ladies and gentlemen, check it out. MikeLabahn.com. The book Giving. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience. From K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
In pre-election debates, the economy was highlighted by both candidates. Not too surprising. What is surprising is how few people, including many politicians, realize the most crucial problems have to do with moral values. This is Jim Garlow. Our news is full of sex scandals, financial scams, and questionable political deals. Yet we fail to see the connection that our economy is the way it is because of weak moral values, greed, and dishonesty. The economy is related to biblical values. The result has been governmental thievery, excessive debt, and theft from those who are yet unborn, your children and your grandchildren. Any nation that borrows money just to pay its interest is not a principled country. It's stealing from the next generation. We need moral uprightness. We need more of being well-versed in biblical values. There's definitely more of that at jimgarlow.com.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Here's the reality. God says, if you put your hand in my hand, your suffering will be different. You're not going to suffer the way the world suffers.
A vivid example of how God meets you in the midst of your pain from Eric Metaxas on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
It's just like when a kid skins his knee and then he goes to mommy and gets a big hug. Doesn't do anything to the knee. Why does it make him feel so much better? It's the same thing with God. God doesn't necessarily change our circumstances, but turning to him in the midst of suffering and adversity does something. And I have to say that the suffering that I have gone through in my life, I know for a fact that God was faithful. And I can say, praise God, that I was faithful in the midst of the suffering instead of turning my back on God, knowing that he was my way forward.
When there's nowhere to turn, look to God and find his comfort in your circumstances. You'll hear more from Eric Metaxas today at familyminute.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I want to thank Mike LeBon for coming into the studio. Very nice of him. Great guy. He's got a great story. You know, I do get people in the studio, and sometimes they're still trying to figure out the radio process. I've been doing this. We're almost at 1,000 shows. Wow. But I do want you to I want to encourage you. Mike has a great story to tell. Just 3 years ago, he reached this unspoken goal. Is that amazing? Giving away $1 million.
It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome. I mean, it's fantastic. And so this book, Giving, this will give you a great opportunity to look at somebody who knows exactly what it's like when somebody says you should pay tithes and they're like going, hey, my truck don't start. Pay tithes? I'd like to have some groceries. I mean, that's just a perfect story because it connects to everything that we go through. So you really get a handle on that, and that's really nice. Great of him to come in. Appreciate him taking the time. Big shout out to my good friend Chris George for setting that up and Tammy as well. Nice job, guys. Appreciate it very much. Again, Mike LeBahn, LABAHN, MikeLeBahn.com. Check it out. All right. We are going to, we did say if we had time and we have a little bit of time to do our next little segment, and I'm going to set it up with a little bit of music from your past. Let's see if you remember this.
I'd like to teach the world to sing. Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to buy the world.
There you go. Remember that? It was the old Coca-Cola thing. It's like, oh, remember that was so lovely. Everybody loved that song. Well, the title of this DDD is called Better Than Coca-Cola. That's why we played it. Are you looking for refreshment? Who isn't looking for refreshment? Are you looking to be refreshed? Sometimes we feel, you know, not just run down and weary. We just need refreshment. Well, I want to read you a passage out of Acts chapter 3 that tells the early believers how to process in their salvation. But what I want to do is catch the one little element there that tells you how to find refreshment. So here it is. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says this. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Ooh, doggy. I love this. Repent then and turn to God so your sins may be wiped out. That's the salvation, right? Repent, turn to God, your sins are wiped out. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Better than Coca-Cola, my friends. If you think Coca-Cola is refreshing, you have no idea. The presence of the Lord, the encounters with the Lord, the touch from the Lord, the graces of the Lord, those are refreshment. Do you know it's such a sad thing to have to apologize to people for saying, you need more strength, you need more God. But the reality is Scripture makes it clear that God gives us our strength, God gives us our energy, God gives us our ability. And if you need empowerment, if you need refreshment, if you need strength, then the presence of the Lord is where you need to be. Now, there's some discussion as to where the presence of the Lord is. Well, not theologically. The Lord is everywhere. That's his universal presence. But then there are places and times where the Lord's presence becomes more known. We call that the manifested presence. And the manifested presence takes place in fellowship, in prayer, in worship times, corporate and individual, in scripture times, in times of communion, in times of service. We just had Mike LeBon on. In times of giving. The presence of the Lord has touched people in times of giving. You think, well, how can that be? Well, it's funny because they did come up with in this last year that there's this little brain transmitter that only shoots off when you give. You think that's an accident? I go, no. I think that's called design. And what I want you to catch is that all of these things, all of these triggers that connect you to the Lord, serving other people, giving, loving on people, being loved on, being in fellowship, being in the Word, being in prayer, being in praise, all these are elements and pathways to his presence, and all of those elements and pathways to his presence bring you refreshment. You want to be charged? You want to be riding higher in the battery level? Well, why don't you go to the place that energy was created? How about that? It's funny because in Philippians and Colossians, there's this one Greek word, especially in Colossians, where Paul talks about functioning in the energy of God. That's what it says in the Greek. It's like, ooh, how cool is that? I'm just like, what? What? Where do I get that? Where do I get that? You get that in his presence. It's like, what? I want it. Yeah, me too. It's fantastic. We want this. We need this. You need refreshment? I do. I need refreshment all the time. Guess what I need? More of God. You know what Moses said? I'm going to close with this. You know what Moses said after he'd done all he'd done? He said to the Lord, I just want one thing. God said, what? Moses goes, I want to see you. I want more. I want to see. I want more. More, Lord. More. That's what we want. That's what we need. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California, taking a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. I can do
anything. I've got strength. The David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 a.m., KPRZ.